Again, Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear. A heart to perceive, and eyes to see, that your eye is on me. Amen. I read this a few weeks back to you. I'm guessing quite a few weeks back, obviously. This is a 15-year-old kid who got an A for his entry. Totally awesome. The Lord's Prayer is not allowed in most public schools anymore because the word God is mentioned. A kid in Winnipeg wrote the attached new school prayer. Are you ready? Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the province. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. There's outlaw guns, but first the Bible. To quote a good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen, and the unwed daddy, our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen. Notice again, the 15-year-old's not allowed to speak. Speech can be anointed of God and can change the future. Speech can ruin you and me. It can also shatter. It can bless. It can curse. It can change our lives for the better or for worse. As I was telling you earlier, I was pressed to listen to a CD that my brother's pastor went through many years ago. This was before the revival at Brownsville in Florida. And the Lord was working on John Kilpatrick to make a change in his words, especially over things that he has shared openly without fear or without doubts. His prayer was that it would change others' lives if they chose to bless instead of cursing. Now, a lot of times in Matthew 18:18, it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You and I have power to do this. Luke chapter 3 raises a blessing. So, John, when he was actually the pastor of the church in Brownsville before it was actually in full revival, he was pressed of the Lord as they were putting up the new building that he wanted to have an orchestra pit because he felt that it would be nice to have some trumpets and all kinds of brass available. And in order to do that, he asked the board to give the builders what they needed in order to put this incredible orchestra pit in front of where the stage is area. So they already had a choir, they already had keyboards and many other things, but that was in his heart. So he got permission and they allotted, because they found out it was going to cost $42,000 to do this. Now this is early 90s, 90, 89, 90, 91. Well, he felt that, you know, obviously something was going to be awesome. He got the extra money. They did the orchestra pit. And he made announcements before the grand opening that anybody who had talent in this area could come and hopefully rehearse a little bit and be a part of the celebration for this dedication of this new building. Well, guess what? Nobody showed up. The big celebration came, and nobody came. Weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and now he's angry because every time he looks at it, he's feeling guilty and he's mad because this orchestra pit is there, $42,000 in the hole, and it's a big hole that produces what? An irritation. Oh, it produces an irritation. And he's angry at himself. And he's now talking, it's stupid hole, dumb hole. It's an irritation about this dumb hole, and look what God is, you know, I must have missed God, and he's angry, etc., etc. So he has a habit that every Saturday he goes to the sanctuary and he prays in the sanctuary. And this has been going on for months now. So he said that was the night that the Lord changed his life. Because he says he felt something hit in his rear end and he heard the words, when you stop cursing it, it'll grow. So your words of disgust, anger, resentment, bitterness against a hole in a building binds or looses, depends on your choice. He could have loosed the angels to do something there. And he could have bound, which he did, by saying it was ugly, it was stupid, it was... And those words had power. And the Lord said, it's time to stop. He says, and he really felt something hit his rump. And he says, I needed a good swift kick. And he says, you know, not literal, but... spiritual, wake up. What you're doing is that will never change until you have the authority and you decide to make a change with your mouth. I told you about Clarice earlier, Bishop Clarice Fluitt, teaching basically the same message. Your mouth is a river. Whatever comes out will either bless or curse. So, he asked God to forgive him for not realizing what he was doing. Out of, you know, not knowing. Lack of knowledge, we talked about that Sunday. Lack of knowledge will what? Bring you destruction. So, he asked the Lord three things. He says, I'm going to repent, I'm going to renounce, and I'm going to revoke all the words that I spoke. And he began to speak to the whole. I renounce all those dead words that I spoke to it, all those ugly curses, I cancel them in Jesus' name. And he said, I revoke all the effects and the fruits of what that did, and I'm asking now for freedom for that entire orchestra pit. And I bless it. And he began to bless it. So, then the Lord said, you can curse a place, a person, or a thing. So he thought, oh my God. So he went home. and he had not been sleeping too good. So the Lord told him it was time to bless his house. So we've done blessings of homes before. We've anointed with oil. We've anointed with the blood. But he went one step further. He put little signs up over the bedroom door. This is a place for sleep. And he quoted one of the Psalms for it. Okay? Psalms number 3, rest and peace in this room. He said, he went to the bathroom and he used Exodus 15. No diseases in this place. He went to the kitchen and he used Exodus 23. We will serve all those come and it'll be with God's blessing. He went in his family room and he used Joshua 24. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he went in the hallway and he put up a sign, going out and coming in, they'll be blessed. So, you say, well, that's kind of extremes. Well, you should have seen my bathroom and it's still there. There's a sign in my bathroom, all things turn together for good for those who love the Lord. That does include plumbing problems. Not just in the bathroom, in you and I. Because we're in there.
Amen.
Okay? And believe me, when you have a good flushing, it works. It helps. Amen? If you've ever had a blockage, you know that good plumbing is a gift from God and it's a blessing to have your works clean out. Now, you say, oh, you're going to extremes. Well, you know what? Your mouth goes to extremes on other departments. And listen to your words when you're angry at someone and you say someone you're full of and fill in the blanks. And you know you're not doing something right. I'm trying to tell you something. Wake up about your words. Oh, I'm having such a good time. I wish I was dead. Well, now you wish you were dead. What are you doing?
Yep.
You're cursing yourself. Death is not a blessing. It's not. It just can't be. Okay? So listen to what you say. And if you pray that prayer, ask God to hear what's coming out of your mouth. So that you won't be bringing down all kinds of garbage on yourself. Amen? Now you say, well, aren't you going to extremes? I think you need to know the results. It was an awesome experience because he found that he was resting with such a deep sleep, and that had never happened to him before. He also found the Lord said to him, it's time that you look at what Jacob did when he blessed his sons. You can check that out for yourself. It's in Genesis. And they were blessings for each one. Abraham blessed his son. When I was a little boy and we went to New Year's celebration, New Year's Day, every year, we went to my grandparents' house, which were my biological parents. And I can still see myself with my long stockings up to here, with my short pants, because that's what you had to wear, kneeling on the kitchen floor along with this entire family. Now don't forget, I'm the 21st child. And a lot of my nephews and nieces are just as old or older than me. The house was full. But we would all kneel before the supper. Every single person knelt, and my earthly dad would literally stand or sit, depending on the age, and he would lift up one hand and he would bless us. Every one of us received a blessing from my father for the new year. You say, well, he's not Jewish. Well, there was a tradition in the Bergeron family. You had a blessing for the new year. It happened to come on January 1st. It came every single year. And I can still see myself doing that with my parents. The first time my wife came to my grandparents, I was 17 years old. and we knelt together. And she, and when we were coming home, she says, I've never seen anything like this before. Because she had never been in a family that received a blessing from the grandfather. Because to me, he was my grandfather. You say, well, why are you telling me this? Because he was a man. But he was the head of the house, and there was respect. Are you catching on? What am I telling you? I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Spirit hasn't forgotten how to use people's mouths to bless. And yours is no exception. Now, I wrote a bunch of scriptures, and I don't know where I put them, so you just have to be patient with me. Oh, just remembered. Here it is, right here. Are you ready? Blessings for persons. Genesis 27, 27 and 28. Genesis 48, 16. Genesis 48, 16. Joshua 14, 13. Joshua 14, 13. Joshua 22, verse 6. 22, verse 6. 1 Samuel 2, 20. 1 Samuel 2, 20. 2 Samuel 13, 25. 2 Samuel 13, 25. 1 Kings 8, 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. That's the one we're going to go to. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Now, why am I pressing in? Because I think sometimes we underestimate the power of our mouth. We underestimate the fruit of what's going to happen. And we should be aware that our mouth is blessed. Amen? Tell your neighbor, your mouth is blessed.
Your mouth is blessed.
Amen.
Your mouth is blessed.
Verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them, so he blessed Joseph and Mary, and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that they... thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well, or too. It's also prophetic, isn't it? 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow, until... she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own towns of Nazareth, etc. Men and women were used in the Old Covenant to bless even the baby Jesus. What about your babies? What about when you try to correct them and you corrected them in the wrong direction? How about if you had a fit of anger and you spoke things you should have never said? So John Kilpatrick is now on a quest because he's seen the fruit. So he gets a nudge from the Lord and he says, it's time the kids come home. So he's got one in college, another one that's on a job somewhere. I think he's got 3 children. Anyway, don't quote me on all that stuff. He brings them home for a celebration. And then he tells, before we eat, it's time that I repent of the words that I've spoken to you. And one of his sons is 6 foot something, which reminds me a little bit of my own. And
he stood in front of him and he asked him to forgive his father, meaning himself, for all the judgments and critical words and curses that had come out of his mouth in correction to his son that were done in an ungodly manner. And this son was not in the habit of having any emotions. This type of child was just didn't have any. So he began to weep, because then he began to bless him. He blessed him in all of his endeavors about his school. He blessed him in the name of Jesus to be progressive in finding the right people in his life. Blessed him financially, blessed him in multiples of attitudes and hearts, and the boy wept. The second child was even more reserved, and the drama went deeper, because when he began to ask him to forgive, "But Dad, you've always been good," he says, "I didn't ask your opinion. We're going back to the time that you entered your mother's womb. And we're going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm asking you to forgive me for all the injuries that I did to you unintentionally, because lack of knowledge was involved." And he proceeded to repent and to revoke and to speak death to whatever words that had caused him to have questionings about himself. And then he began to bless him. And that one also broke into tears and fell under the power of God. Then he brought his wife forward, and he began to do the same. I'm laying this at your feet because you've got a couple of more days to practice his presence. And I would say that before we have this incredible day of atonement, that you do the homework that the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And if you can't, carry out the commission, ask God for grace. But what I'm believing for is you becoming a house of prayer instead of being a house of criticalness. A house of criticalness will bring what? It'll bring death and deception and hurt and depression. A house of prayer will intercede for those that have been affected by your actions and reactions. It's awful quiet in here. Did you guys notice? Are we heading home? What am I saying to you? We're preparing for the next level of this feast. And we're going to cross over onto the other side.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, you are the counselor and the comforter.
You are the counselor and the comforter.
And I need your kind of courage.
And I need your kind of courage.
To speak when it's time.
To speak when it's time.
Not just to myself.
Not just to myself.
But those that are closest to me.
But those that are closest to me.
Especially in my own house.
Especially in my own house.
Especially in my immediate family.
Especially in my immediate family.
Prepare the way, Lord Jesus.
Prepare the way, Lord Jesus.
That I may be a blessing.
Instead of a curse.
Whatever adjustments I need to make.
Whatever adjustments I need to make.
I'm asking for grace.
I'm asking for grace.
And favor.
And favor.
Because I'll need a good size amount. But I know you're unlimited.
But I know you're unlimited.
And I trust you.
And I trust you.
To recreate.
Recreate.
Me.
Me.
And my house.
And my house.
And we will serve the Lord.
And we will serve the Lord.
For your glory, Lord.
For your glory.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.